I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson's Secret 2. I'm joined by fellow Northerner and all-round absolute mega babe, Grace Dent.
Hello.
How are you? Ooh, that was sexy.
Hello.
That was
Hi.
Hiya.
How am I? I'm having an absolutely... I'm having too nice a time. Yeah. You know when you're just speaking to somebody that... You could just go down Asda with. Now, we could just literally go down Asda and have a little look through the George clothes.
Fucking love Asda.
And yeah, exactly. I've got that kind of kindred spirit thing going on where, yeah.
Did I hear you were from Carlisle?
Carlisle? Yeah.
So I once, Carlisle claim to fame story, when I was like younger, about 18 and stuff, before I went to uni, I used to sell shots in clubs and bars. I know, yeah. And the fella I worked for was branching out and he put us in Carlisle one night.
Oh my God.
And honestly,
It was an
eye opener, don't get us wrong.
Yes.
But it was absolutely wicked. Like, this is long before the days of Jordy Shore or I'm a Celeb or whatever. Because yeah. I was somebody new in Carlisle.
Oh my God.
Everybody treated us like a bit of a celeb.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved it. I had
absolutely
a great time. And I made a fortune.
This is it. For that night, it was basically you were like Princess Diana or Pamela Anderson.
That's
like,
how I felt. It was kind of big Princess Di energy that night.
Yeah. It's like, new person. No, not related to any of us.
That's how I felt there. Yeah. But I had a good time. So what took you then? What took you from Carlisle down to London? What inspired you? Were you always banging ear food? What was the catalyst?
Look, I wanted to go to London from I was a tiny little girl. I lived on a terraced street right near the train track of the West Coast line. You know, the West Coast that goes from Glasgow to Euston.
Yeah.
And it goes through Carlisle. And I lived really near the train track. So, you know, when we were out having one of those childhoods where you're just like playing in fields and, you know, in allotments
having
and
a very
all that.
Wholesome time.
Like one of the, well, as wholesome as it got for Generation X, to be honest, you know. Spent a lot of time just basically like out of your parents.
Smoking, exactly.
Smoking fags and everything else you got up to when you were a child. I remember being down by the train tracks thinking, I am going. And for me, it wasn't, I'm not from an academic house. Nobody went to uni. Nobody had careers, really. Mm. But I loved watching telly. I loved pop music. We're talking about the 70s and the 80s. And I just used to watch telly and think, oh, I want to be glamorous, you know? I want to be standing with a microphone in my hand and I want to write books and I want to write for newspaper. I don't know what it was I wanted,
but you just wanted to do things.
I just didn't want to stay in Carlisle with regards to food. I didn't come from a background where you know, we didn't holiday for 3 weeks in Provence, yeah. you know, in the summer. You know,
trying the cheeses and local wines.
Exactly. I didn't grow up in a house where we traveled abroad or we bought the very best of things. You know, I think there's a very tried and tested way that a lot of people that are in the food world, they always go, oh, you know, I learned to cook at my mother's knee when we were away for the, you know, in our cottage in Rock during summer and all that kind of thing. Not to dog these people down, but I didn't have that at all. You know, I grew up for the first, 10, 12 years of my life. I think what we ate was mince. You know,
like, I mean, same.
Brown, exactly.
The things my mum could do with mincemeat every night of the week. I loved
exactly. And, you know, the reason I ended up being like a food person was, I got down to London in 96, started working in newspapers and magazines. I've worked in newspapers and magazines for so bloody long that, you know, a lot of people kind of remember me from years and years and years and years ago and remember me before food.
Yeah.
I always wanted to write about restaurants because I think that walking into a restaurant, you know, I used to love clubbing. I used to love going to nightclubs. I used to love going to bars when I was younger. I used to love going to Ibiza. I used to love doing all the things that young women did. And then as I got older, I realized that nothing really tops the restaurant, you know, like you never know. And in London, it's very good throughout the country, but in London, hundreds and hundreds of new restaurants every week, every year, rather.
You're spoiled for choice.
And it's that you never know what you're going to get every time. And, you know, you never know what the scene is, what the crowd are like, what the clique's like, what the menu is like, what the food's like. And all those things are important all at once, you know. And I always knew that I was really good at explaining a restaurant. And I'm good at explaining things in general. That's what I'm good with words. That's one of my only skills. But with a restaurant, people would say on a Monday morning, they'd say, have you been to insert name of really hot new place? And I go, yeah. And they'd go, what's it really like? I'd be like, pull up a chair, right? This is what it's like. And they had the audacity to blah, 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 you know, and I would tell this story. And I always thought I could do that, you know. But to be a restaurant critic, it's a really difficult job to get because everybody wants it.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's basically like earning a living from like going nice places, eating great food for the most part. It sounds like pretty much a dream job.
It is a dream. You know, on some levels, it's the greatest job in the entire world, right? I have to write about at least 52 to 53 restaurants, 54 restaurants a year and more. And so I have to go to a lot more. So maybe I have to go to 100, 120 or whatever to make,
so that's,
you know,
like 2 a week, realistically.
Oh God,
enough.
Yes, completely. Wow. And it's obviously, I have an expense account.
Oh, babe, do you know what? It's such a hard life, isn't it?
It's horrible.
Someone's got to do it.
My life is like, so these things, it's like complaining is like complaining about being like Liz Hurley or something like that. It's not. However, the reality of the job, and this is what nobody wants to hear, so I always keep this bit very short, but I could talk about it for hours and hours and hours. The reality is it is never ending, you know?
Yeah.
You never stop having to try and make reservations for restaurants, trying to get into restaurants that there's no spaces. And you're trying to get in anonymously. And then you're going down and nobody really wants you there. And sometimes you're having to eat dinners that you just don't really want. And, you know, and trying to not get gout, you know?
Do people still get gout? I really thought we were done with that.
I know. I think, Vicky, you need to realise gout is real and it is out there, right?
The struggle of gout is very much prevalent.
People think that gout is like one of those things that Elizabethan people got, along with like sweating sickness.
Typhoid.
It's like, and what they don't realise is they eat and eat and drink and drink, and then suddenly their hands go like that, and they've got gout. And I'm like, no, not today, Satan. Not getting gout.
But, you know, it's like anything, and I know I'm sort of, obviously, on the outside looking in, like, the job of a restaurant critic sounds incredibly glamorous, sounds amazing, it doesn't sound like work, but actually, yeah. Regardless of whatever your job is, if you, no matter how much you love it, if you do something enough, yeah. It is still work, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, God, look, like, you know, 60 times a year or something at 5 a.m. in the morning, I sit up in bed with a pint of gold blend coffee and a blank Word document and think, oh my God, I've got to find like 800-900 words about eating pasta in a room that was mainly white again, you know?
Again.
So, and
groundbreaking.
Exactly. And I need to do it in such a manner that is still
engaging
because I need to keep that job. You know, if I start just being boring and dull and nobody wants to come and read it, they'll soon replace me with somebody younger and cheaper who will, like, you know, that's life. And that is life.
That is literally, all my ex-boyfriends have done.
Oh, exactly. Darling, I hear you. Whatever job you've got is a job, you know, and it's like you must have had a thousand people come up to you and say about any of the TV shows you've been on, oh, I bet that was just really good fun all the time. All you did was just got walked to wherever you were going to go and they filmed you and they put it on telly and you're like, no. It was like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of hell and just, you know. But I think with being a restaurant critic, it's, I think one of the main things is having to say unpopular things, which wears on you, you know? And it's like walking into rooms all the time where you start to know. I mean, I was out on Saturday night at a restaurant and we'd ordered kind of too much food because mm-hmm. when it came, I realized some of the plates were much bigger than I imagined. And I think now, like, you know, from a gout perspective, there's no prizes for finishing the food. You know, I don't like food waste. I like to take people with me that eat, that properly eat. But there's no prizes for going, and I just stopped eating because I'd eaten a bit of everything and then I started leaving it for everyone else. And I could just see the chef.
Oh, his little sit, heart.
Yeah. And like things like that. It kind of ruins your evening because you know that his evening's ruined.
Yes. So, Chris, I'm like a highly sensitive person, but I'm also like a people pleaser as well. Like, quite frankly, I know I could never do your job because nobody would believe me reviews because I would just be like, it was amazing again.
It was lovely.
Like, I had a great time. You must go. And actually, there'd be a part of us that meant that, you know, I'm very easily pleased when it comes to Scran. I couldn't do it. But like, the other part of us would just be so worried I'd upset someone. So I don't envy you that, mate. Have you ever, and I hope I'm not like compromising your integrity here, but have you ever felt like you liked a restaurant or you liked a chef or you liked them so much that you've lied a bit?
Yeah, I mean, look, you definitely, it's really hard to go in all guns blazing on, and it's not just when you like them, on any chef really. It's really difficult because, you know, the restaurant is their baby and the staff are a lot of the time, they're vulnerable people who have put a lot of work in. So to go in and be pointlessly cruel there's no point. What I do find is, I've got a certain way of writing a review where you have been kind of damned with faint praise, right? So you can kind of tell.
Clever.
Yeah, I don't, look, also though, some places are just abysmal and I do not mind at all giving them an absolute kick in. I just don't care because if you go somewhere and you get there and I always say there's a kind of a category of restaurant that just isn't even a restaurant. It's just not even working. You know, you get there and there's nobody waiting to seat you, and then you sit down and then they ignore you and then they don't want to serve you and then they bring food that's just not really good. And
oh, yeah, like, drag them.
It's
drag
just
them.
Like, and then at the end, they're like, you fight to pay the bill and then they charge you £95 and you're like...
For the privilege of being ignored for an hour.
And it's like, that to me is just like an absolutely kind of clean assassination. Oh, but with so someone that sense, I love, yeah. It's like somebody when they're really good and they're just, it's just not quite there. Mm. It's a bloody roller coaster doing what I do. It's but I love it, but it takes its toll.
Yeah, I can I honestly can totally see that. And like I say, I couldn't swap jobs with you, mate. I haven't got it in us. But then next question, right? Have you ever wrote something and someone's been offended and they've come for you?
Oh, look, all the time. I don't think it's like people
cope with like, this.
Of course they do. Of course they do. When I first got this job, it was like, I mean, I'd had a pretty bloody good life in London anyway, working in media. And then I get this job and it's like suddenly the keys to London. See, I think people give the keys to London. I'm invited to everything. I'm invited to every party. I'm invited to every awards ceremony. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then I realize I can't bloody go to any of them because the moment I walk in to the drinks reception, what you've got is chefs on their night off who are like nine drinks down, who then want to come and go, I'm not angry. I'm not angry. What I'd like to do is thank you for your feedback. You know, that kind of begrudging thank you that you kind of feel as if...
Honest criticism makes me grow and all that shit.
All that.
Inside,
all that.
They just want to swill you. They want to throw a drink at you.
What they want to do is basically bundle you into a wheelie bin and push it into the Thames.
And what they're... And the Guardian.
Yeah.
Fucking have that.
And what they're saying is... Thank you so much. I just want you to know that we got all of those uncomfortable seats that you didn't like and we put them all in a skip. Thank you. So anyway, I started to find that it's hard because, people are bloody passionate and they remember
and precious
the things. You know, sometimes it's not the chef as well and it's the chef's family. And again, I get this. If you are married to a chef, you are accepting the fact that you are marrying somebody. You know, he might have taken on some amazing gastropub in the middle of nowhere and you've got a cottage nearby and you never see him, you know.
You've uprooted your whole life for him and you're
your whole
invested.
Life.
Yeah.
Your whole life. And the only time you ever see him is when he turns up with a load of aprons that smell of lamb fat and that's your responsibility, right? And you've had a baby with him and you've never seen him at all. And then he's put everything into this bloody pub. And then I've turned up and I've said, oh, it was lovely. It was fine. It was nice. But service wasn't great. And the food was cold. Right.
Yeah.
That is when, I mean, I don't go on social media really at all because
probably for the best if I'm on the screen.
3 o'clock in the morning. You're like, there's some woman just like on Twitter going, and I like
to after a couple of too many glasses of Pinot.
I think that it's hard. It's really hard, and I always say, you know, if I go to any of these parties, like always have flat shoes in your bag because
quick getaway.
Like so that because. I go in and I've got like, because I love a stiletto and I've got these like really high heels on. And then before you know it, I'm like, shit. And I just like, I'm back out on the street just with an Uber going, Uber, I was trying to get, you know.
Oh, I can honestly, I can imagine. And I can imagine. And I think like you say, you do a very good job of sort of like being honest, but also never being like unnecessarily scathing. No. And that's probably why, you know, you are so well respected and you're still working and stuff like that. Because sometimes in the films, like that's my only, experience with like film, with restaurant critics.
Yeah.
They just seem so mean.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they paint them as absolute like caviar consuming dragons.
Well, you know, I think that, and also, you know, the critics themselves for like in real life, for a long time with MasterChef, there used to be the old guard of critics, the kind of an older, and you know,
and they were more, a bit more savage, do you think?
Yeah, they were. They were. I mean, I think that you, it like, look, it all buys into itself. I think that if you go on MasterChef and go, this is the most disgusting souffle I have ever had. It tastes of soil. You are, that's great telly.
Yeah. But you're also a bit of a knob, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, I remember when I was a little girl, that's what I saw the critics were like, you know. And I remember like seeing these people going, this is the most disgusting. And you think, and the first thing you would shout at the television is, mate, you're eating fine food, as a job. So what I do think is you have to just keep it. You have to keep it. You've got to remember that the people that come through the doors, and I remember you've cooked for me, right?
Oh, is that your road, Grace?
Yes, yes. Was that?
Okay, thank God.
In.
I was darling, very nervous.
Darling, I remember very specifically, I can't specifically remember what you made me, but like I remember you coming in, I remember you were very nervous.
I just spent the whole time sweating. For 3 months, I think all I did was sweat on MasterChef.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
On MasterChef, I'm very, very respectful of how tired people are and how tired they are, how exhausted they are. They've been away from their families and their friends, and they've been probably living in like a little hotel nearby and thinking and making the same dish again and again and again, and they come in and then they see me. And sometimes it's real make or break that moment, you know. So it's trying to be supportive and constructive, mm-hmm. and still make good telly.
Such
and
a
not
fine
be a knob,
walk.
Not yeah. be a knob, but not. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, but like, yeah. I mean, look. I think MasterChef. Do you know the what? Right. Do you know what I remember about you most specifically?
Well.
They keep me away from the contestants. So you never see me and I never see you.
Right.
Every time I walk somewhere, they go, Grace Dent is walking, right? And they get everyone out of the way if I want to go for a pee or something to preserve that kind of tension. Mm-hmm. And what I remember about you is that I could hear you at every point. Be in one studio and I'd go, Nero? So that's Vicky Patterson. You were like, ah! Like that. I was like, is she all right? What are you doing to her?
No, to answer the question, Grace, I was not all right. No. I mean, John and Greg just had this like permanent joke that I was like a fucking headless chicken. Yeah. And no matter how long throughout the process, they really wanted this story arc where like Vicky eventually found like real calm and comfort in the kitchen and it became a solace. I never found it. Yeah. I still flap. Even if I just do like a spaghetti bolognese from a air can, I burn myself. Yes. You know, I'm always going to be chaos in the kitchen, but I did grow to absolutely love it. Like I became at one with my chaos, so to speak.
Yeah.
But that doesn't surprise funny.
You were completely memorable.
Oh.
And there's so many people that are on there that I have, like they come up to me and they go, I cooked for you. And I think, oh, No idea. Sorry, literally man. No idea. Never. I can't remember you because it was, they were obviously so quiet and they came in and there was somebody off EastEnders or whatever and they bought me a souffle and that was it.
The human equivalent of pasta in a white room. Yeah. Oh, mate, I know you're busy and you've got loads of places to be, but when I said you were coming on me and Pod, I had some really excited people on my Instagram and I'd be doing them a disservice if I didn't ask their questions. So I've got a couple quick ones from them, if you don't mind. Right. Somebody wants to know if you would have the ultimate dinner party and you could invite three guests, dead or alive, who would they be?
Liam Gallagher.
Brilliant. Great start. You don't want peace, you want problems, I'm assuming.
I want Liam Gallagher. I'd have Nigella.
Absolutely. Very soothing, very sexy. It all ends in an orgy.
Yeah, exactly, hopefully. Liam, Nigella. I know we need somebody to diffuse all this sexual tension.
Ed Balls.
Yeah.
Liz Truss. No fun had at all. No, Liam Gallagher. No, right. And the third person, I think I'd get somebody who, like, I would either have you, because I think we would have an absolute laugh.
We would have a good time.
Or another northerner.
Go on.
Scarlett Moffat.
Oh, do you know what? I would happily forego my seat for Moffat because I think she'd be great. But could we both come? We'll just share.
Both of you. All three of us. I'll just sit in a row with spray tans, long hair, just talking about Asda. Liam will be bang up for it. He'll love talking about that. Yeah. Nigella will be going, what is this Asda that we...
What is Asda? Asda. She will be... She'll. But then by the end, I hope she wants to come with her.
Yeah, she will. She'll be looking for those yellow stickers, those reduced stickers, those whoop stickers. She'll be going, oh my God, look, it's a Thomas the Tank Engine cake for 69 pence.
Off ahead on Blue WKD. That's
just my dream. How marvellous.
Last one from lovely podcast enthusiasts is, what's your favourite weeknight dish to cook?
Oh, God.
I think somebody really likes the idea of you hunched over a pot noodle.
Do you know, the thing is, I am one of those people that I got an air fryer.
I've just got one.
Right.
I've not used and it. Is it so good?
Do you know, I think that your life is in two stages, right? And one is sex, drugs and rock and roll, right? All night, you know, going out on Thursday and coming back on Monday, and you get through that, and then you go into your air fryer stage.
Air fryer phase.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fucking in the air fryer phase.
And I've found with air fryers is, like, if my partner comes in and he's like really hungry and I've literally done nothing, you just make the biggest, butteriest, mayonnaise-iest, like, ketchup-iest something sandwich with the butter on the outside. Oh. And then you air fry it. So it just becomes like the world's biggest, you know, like a Breville.
Oh, yeah.
It becomes like the world's biggest Breville. And that is my tip. It looks as if you've done something absolutely amazing. Yeah. And what you've really done is just make a big, sweaty cheese and pickle sandwich with loads of barbecue sauce and then all the butters, and then you just present it and that's it. That's happiness. You could have spent 3 hours making beef bourguignon and they would have went, oh, stew. Is it stew? It's not like my mum made it. Why have you put, is that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas if you just make, so that's what I've been doing. It's winter at the moment. So I'm going into that, slow cooking, fast cooking. Yeah. Like slow cooking sometimes, but when I want to like ramp my life up, the heady world of fast cooking.
Do you know what? Honestly, you've got me so fired up. I'm getting that air fryer out tonight. Yeah.
Do it. Anything that's in your freezer that's been sitting there in your freezer
can be air-fried.
For like literally 6 months, and you're like, I can't be arsed to put the oven on for this. Just air fry it and then bring it out for your partner and put it all. You know, people say, call it picky tea. I've always called it Northern tapas, nappas. Put them all on a tray and then just go, like, my bloke's not Northern. Voila. So, like, you just go like, da, 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 like that. And it's like, here we go. It's corn sausages with barbecue sauce. Voila. Bon appetit.
Oh, mate, honestly, I'm fucking... Those are my favourite types of teas, though. And I do. I go for Northern, ma'am. Picky bits. Get your picky bits
out. Picky bits. Just get them.
Oh, I'm going to have some for tea tonight. Before I say goodbye to you, Grace, and it will be very painful goodbye because I think I've fallen in love with you a little bit. Here at Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2, we always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a little pearl of wisdom. And I could have asked you a million things. You seem very wise. You seem incredibly wise.
But, I've been around the block a lot of times.
That's it,
rough paper rounds. I always say, though, I'm like one of those insects that after a nuclear war,
oh yeah,
the dust would clear and I would just be here going, all right then, just put my false eyelashes on.
I've literally just done a show with Sue Pollard and everyone gets really worried. They're like, oh, is Sue okay? Is Sue going to be all right? Someone check on Sue. I'm like, oi, if there's a nuclear explosion, it'll be the cockroaches and Sue. No one needs to worry about that. She's fucking...
Sue'll be like, aye.
All right. She's hard as nails, that woman, so I totally get it. But I think your secret has to be, based on our little northern roots and everything you've said, I want to know what your secret is to making an entrance.
Oh.
It's a good one.
Girl. Oh, God, you know, I have to make an entrance.
Yeah, why not?
Quite a lot. And...
is it quite nerve-wracking walking into a new restaurant?
Yeah. Oh, God, it's all... I mean, look, yeah. It's completely because there's that moment where all heads swivel.
Yeah.
And then things go quiet. But not just in a restaurant, you know, to go to an award ceremony or, you know, some kind of launch or a party or whatever. It is nerve-wracking. And you know, I always say... Sometimes you really, 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 really don't want to do it. And from you're standing outside and it almost feels like bungee jumping. Do you ever feel like that?
No, I get
when it. When you go into something and you're like, oh, God, and you would give anything to just walk up the street and go to Wagamama by yourself. Do you know what I mean? And just
a little
sit
bit of crispy
there
squid.
And just go home, you know. But sometimes you have to do it. And I always say... So, well, I sometimes go into my own head and I go, for the next 10 minutes when I go through the door, I am going to play the part of Grace Dent.
Oh, babe, that makes me half a little bit sad, mate.
And I'm going to war. No, but it's true. You go and you put your shoulders back, and you just put the smile on and you've got to play the part of Grace Dent. How would Grace Dent, if you were in a film, imagine you're in a film... You're in a film called Vicky! Exclamation mark.
Oh, yeah, don't forget the exclamation point. It's all in the punctuation.
And it's almost like you have to fake the being in it. And what you'll find is it'll get into your soul and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
But I almost think I have to kind of go, poof, shoulders back.
Fake it till you
You've got it. To, you've got to, and always be a little bit late. You don't want to be that person that's like standing at the bar, because then when everybody gets there, because then you'll have to do three times the amount of socializing.
Oh, okay. It's a good
Because you'll have to then greet every single person who comes in and introduce them all to each other. No, you don't want that. You're going to go in 25 minutes late, half an hour, shoulders back, spray tan.
Yeah.
Face on. You're going to walk in. Always have an out as well, right?
Firm out.
You're going to have a firm out. You're going to work out who you really need to speak to in that room.
Yeah.
There might be about four or five people, but you really just think if you're going to get through this event and you're going to walk in and you're going to be high impact player. That's what I always say. You're a high impact player.
And
you're
going to
go in. You're going to go in. And you got the people that you see, you're going to be, hello, blah, 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 blah. And then after you've done what you need to do, you can go. Yeah. Anna Wintour goes, you know who I mean? Anna Wintour goes from the start. She goes from the beginning of the event.
Uh-huh.
She walks through going, hello, 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 hello. And then just walks out the back door and gets through the kitchen and leaves.
I mean, that's what we all need to aspire to in terms of social interactions, isn't it? To be Anna Wintour's level of efficiency.
The problem is that it's really tempting, especially if you're from a background like me and you, to think that you have to stay, you know, at an event, as if there's going to be a prize handed out for being that person that's still against the free bar at the end. And like, you know, people like me and you, like the idea of growing up, there was never any free bars. So when I first got to London, and there'd be like suddenly like everywhere you went, there's like £5,000 behind the bar. I used to think, God, if they did this in Carlisle, people would die every single night. Somebody would be like, whatever. So yeah, I think that it's all about, God, this sounds so boring, but events are sometimes when you need to go out, it's all about control and going, I'm going to do this. And then I'm just going to, I never say goodbye. Do you say goodbye?
No, so that's something I've started as I've got older. Like, I've realised, because I used to always want to be the last one standing, and it wasn't even about, like, you know, what people thought of us or letting people down. That was just for me. I wore it like a badge of honour. But now, from the minute I get somewhere, normally pretty much have a desire to go home. And so now I just literally say to Erkan, I send him a text if he's not right next to us, you know, or I go, I'm going, and I'm not saying goodbye, because that's going to, then people will try and convince us to stay.
Yes.
It's going to add an extra half an hour on me night.
Yeah.
There'll be someone I've missed out. So effectively I'll offend someone. I'm just fucking going. And I read somewhere as well, people who don't say goodbye and do the old backdoor exit, apparently they get something like an extra 5 years of their life.
I'm 100% with you.
Get away,
my partner's family are French, right? So it takes them 4.5 hours to leave.
How many fucking kisses do you need to do when you say goodbye?
4.5 hours to leave anywhere, right? Because what they do is they say, we're going, and then the entire party moves into the hallway where they all stand there saying goodbye for another. And I got so tired of that once that we were all standing in the hallway saying goodbye, and eventually he texted me. He said, where are you? I said, I'm at home.
Yeah.
I'd gone. I just left. I left the party and I got on a train, and I managed to get back, and I was in bed in pajamas. I thought, no, this is it. And he's like, you get one chance with this goodbye that I'm going to do. I'm like, I'm not sitting around any longer. I just like to bang, go.
Honestly, I remember once, right, I was going, this is when I was really young, I was going out with a footballer who played for Newcastle, and he shall remain nameless, mostly just because he's Argentinian, and I'll butcher it if I try and say it. And we bumped into his family in Phoenix, and I said there was about eight of them, and they do something like four kisses.
I hadn't
got around all of the family giving them all before he'd started to do his goodbyes, and I just had to go back round again with all the kisses, and I thought, nah, I can't do this. I can't be necking on my whole life. I can't do it. I'm out. So that was the end of that relationship. Mate, what an absolute pleasure it was talking to you.
Oh, darling.
I hope you have a good week. I hope we have some more of those highs. You know, fleeting happiness moments.
Well, look, this was one. This is what I mean. This is happiness. This is two people being happy, having a laugh, connecting, and then you hang up the call, and then 5 minutes later, I'll be like fighting with a cat litter tray.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is sadness.
But listen, if you ever want to go to a fancy restaurant and utilise the free bar and not say goodbye, you know where I am.
Darling, I think that we could paint the town red in an amazing way.
Also, I'm also available if you want to do air fryer recipes too.
Air fryer, honestly, you've got my number. Anything you want to put in the air fryer, you want to run it past me, just literally ask me and I'll be like, yeah, stick it in.
Anything goes in.
Sounds all right. If there's a fire, don't blame me. But yeah, give it a go. 7 minutes on 200.
You heard it here first, guys. Oh, thank you, Grace. That was absolutely lovely. Well, guys, that was absolute powerhouse and Northern legend, Grace. I hope you loved that hour as much as I did. God, I could have talked to her all day. What a legend. She has a podcast herself, I'm sure you guys already know. It's called Comfort Eating, and it's in its fourth series. So check that out if you don't already. Please do all of the podcasty things. Tell your mates, leave a review. Only if it's kind. And don't forget, we now have a YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch your podcasts rather than listen to them, give that a gander. All the relevant links and things are on my Instagram as always. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts and obviously on YouTube. Have a great week, everybody.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.